Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time with a ton to get to. A recap of a historic and monumental night and moment in the WNBA, the 2024 WNBA draft, star-studded with some of the best in women's college basketball, now making that leap to the next level. We'll recap what we saw last night in Brooklyn. Also in the NBA, the postseason officially gets started on this Tuesday. Western Conference play-in tournament in New Orleans and Sacramento, a preview of both matchups. Major League Baseball, we go around the bigs. All of that and plenty more here in these 3 hours, DRS, up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
What do we got? At least 2 full months of NBA playoff action we're about to embark on with the startup tonight, and we got you covered. We'll handicap all of those games and those series a little bit later. And yes, the WNBA draft was last night. And also, the thing I love about the WNBA draft is they get drafted, like go right to training camp, and we watch them play like literally weeks after the draft, which is really good. You keep the iron hot on how great that women's college basketball season was. So a lot of good topics to get to today, including some more RBI props. You know this, man. You know it.
The timeline for women's college basketball and the best stars to play in the next level in the W is insane. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, Camilla Cardoso and the South Carolina Gamecocks just played in the national championship game 8 days ago, or at least from yesterday. The WNBA draft then occurs. They get right into training camp, and the WNBA season starts in the middle of May. We'll talk about the WNBA in just a second as we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. The opening hour of a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line. He's Donnie. I am Ben. You're listening on Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. A historic night for the WNBA draft last night in Brooklyn. In the move that was expected, now officially confirmed. The Indiana Fever with the number one overall pick select Caitlin Clark. A moment for this franchise and the league. Momentum for the WNBA at this historic point. Caitlin Clark, the first ever Iowa basketball player, men or women, to go number one overall in the WNBA or NBA draft. And the Indiana Fever are feeling good on this morning.
Yeah, no disrespect to anybody else, but she was definitely going number one overall by a wide margin. The minute that this college basketball season was wrapping up, the Indiana Fever could not wait to get to draft night and hold that jersey up and say, welcome, Caitlin Clark. Let's put some butts in the seats. Let's see if we can win some basketball games and restart this franchise overall. Big night. And guess, yes, superstars. Usually it's the WNBA. Like, who went? We'll find out later. Superstar night across the board in the WNBA. Good night for them.
The Fever had more than 17,000 people at a WNBA draft watch party last night. They've already sold out season tickets. They're playing on national TV in 36 of their 40 games. All the Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jerseys have already sold out. By the way, the rest of the top five, Cameron Brink out of Stanford goes second overall. Then it was Camilla Cardoso from the national championship winning South Carolina Gamecocks, Rekia Jackson out of Tennessee, and rounding out the top five, J.C. Sheldon from Ohio State. More from the 2024 WNBA draft later on in hour number two. Now, back to the NBA, but the Paris Olympics this summer, getting ready for that. And USA Basketball announcing yesterday, DRS, it is finalizing its roster for the 2024 Paris Olympics that includes Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Haliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis. It is a stacked and loaded star-studded roster heading over to France.
Sounds like smashing season over there, because this team is not going to be messing around. Croissants, bonbons, and gold medals. That's what the U.S. is hunting for this summer, people.
Absolutely so. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets did not make the postseason, but they have made a new hire. Jordy Fernandez has been named the new head coach of this Nets organization, an associate head coach in Sacramento. Jordy Fernandez, now the head man in Brooklyn.
All right, in 2 years, we'll be looking for Jordy Fernandez going to another NBA program. That is a terrible job to accept. But, hey, it's a paycheck, and you'll move on in a couple years, Jordy. Congratulations.
Yeah, the Nets in a very interesting time in their franchise's history. Now to the ice, just 3 days left in this National Hockey League regular season. And good news, perhaps, for the Rangers last night, a 4-0 shutout over the Ottawa Senators at home inside Madison Square Garden. And it was a celebration as the Rangers clinched the President's Trophy as the best regular season record in the National Hockey League. But it's a little bit bittersweet, DRS, because the last 10 winners of the President's Trophy, the best team in the NHL in a regular season, have failed to reach the Stanley Cup final. The Blue Shirts trying to change that.
Yeah, it's one of the few like sports leagues that when you get to the playoffs, it feels like any single team can have a chance. Just depends on how good of goaltending you get. But that's good news for the Rangers here. Moving on, top team in the NHL. We'll see if they produce a Stanley Cup out of that.
And that wild race for the second and final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference standings continue. The Penguins keep their playoff hopes alive in what was a must-win and can't-lose game. Pittsburgh holds off the Nashville Predators 4-2. We'll have plenty more hockey talk with Casey Hudson a little bit later on. Now around Major League Baseball, a game that we expected to be high-scoring with an over-under of 10 and a hook. Wasn't necessarily that. The Atlanta Braves did their part. They played 6 in Houston to knock off the Astros 6-1.
Yeah, that's good news for the Braves. They're getting a good pitching performance out of a guy that maybe we're unsure of what we would get out of him. But the one thing we do know is 5-plus runs every single night seems like a foregone conclusion for that dominant Atlanta Braves offense.
And that Atlanta Braves offense is rolling the Houston Astros after winning the weekend set against their in-state foes in the Texas Rangers. Do drop the opening game of that series. The New York Yankees in Toronto get a loss yesterday. They lose 3-1 against the Blue Jays. But big news in the Yankees organization. Their longtime radio play-by-play voice, John Sterling, announces his retirement. There will be a ceremony on Saturday up in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium to celebrate the long career of John Sterling, but one of the most recognizable voices around MLB calls it a career.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who follows him up, because it was a legendary booth overall. Now, if you are a Yankees fan, you probably enjoyed it, and rightfully so. That was your team. But from being a fan of baseball, I actually would rank them maybe the worst baseball booth there is. But again, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not nostalgic in that. It'll be interesting, though, when you follow an icon in New York, you usually get off to a rough start because people are used to one thing and you get another. And also, where does that leave Susan Waldman in the booth as well? Changing times for the Yankees here, but going out in style for sure. Yankee legend.
You probably remember or recognize John Sterling in his voice when he goes, "The Yankees win." He calls it a career. He will announce his retirement, and there will be a ceremony again on Saturday up in Yankee Stadium. Plenty more around Major League Baseball comes your way here in this opening hour on a Tuesday on the early line. We just flew through the 7-7. We never have to filibuster after the 7-7, but now the filibuster done. The Daily Diamond Dash around MLB comes your way up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday morning on The Early Line on Sports Grid, a full Major League Baseball slate on a Monday. And it got started very early. Yesterday was Patriots Day in Boston, the running of the Boston Marathon, and an early start at Fenway Park. 11 a.m. Eastern time, first pitch between the Red Sox and the Guardians. And for the very early goings of that early matchup yesterday, DRS, in MLB, no offense, no runs scored in the game between the Guardians and the Red Sox until the seventh inning. Will Brennan for Cleveland opens it up with a two-run shot, and Cleveland never looked back. The Guardians blanked the Sox 6-0 on the road in Boston to win outright as the moneyline underdog, plus 130 yesterday against Boston. Cutter Crawford on the bump, as you see right there for the Red Sox. He has been sensational this year. A .42 ERA. He shut out the Guardians in 5 2/3 of work yesterday, but it was Cleveland once he got out of the game from the seventh inning on where they scored all six runs.
Yeah, good win by the Guardians. And by the way, you know what sticks out more than their lineup scoring six runs and getting nine hits? How about this, Ben? 8-2 on the road, man. You want to make the playoffs, yeah, and you're playing that good of baseball on the road. That's really going to help out. But it was just a calamity. Like, you might have thought the Red Sox were actually running in the Boston Marathon and not playing in that baseball game. Only three hits, no runs scored, guys colliding, concussion stitches here. What a tough home opener. And also, did you see how it started, Ben? You got Gronk to throw up the first pitch and had a Gronk spike.
Yeah,
I guess that was the highlight of the day yesterday in Boston.
Yeah.
Tough scene there.
Again, a shout out to Cutter Crawford, though. Now, in his four starts, 5 2/3 yesterday, zero earned runs, only two hits, struck out six. He has a .42 ERA with 24 Ks this year. He's only allowed nine hits over four starts in general and just one earned run, and the Red Sox could not pick him up. Boston got off to a 7-3 start, a hotter beginning than many expected for the Red Sox this season. Since that point, they are 2-5. Meanwhile, for Cleveland, 11 wins now on the campaign. They avoided the sweep against the Yankees on Sunday at home. A win yesterday. Again, the Guardians 11-5. A matchup between two teams yesterday, Donnie, in Houston. We expect to contend for pennants and World Series each and every year. It wasn't the star-studded Aces affair in Houston, and we thought we'd see some runs. Not exactly. The Atlanta Braves scored six. They win 6-1 in H-Town over the Stros. They were actually a very slight road money line favorite at minus 116, but the game does stay under. Atlanta wins the first game of this set in Houston.
It's crazy, too. You look at Houston on the season now, Ben, 6-12 overall, 4-7 at home. You say, yeah, well, are they really struggling at the plate? Not necessarily. I mean, Jose Altuve on the season is hitting over .400, but you're lining up this Atlanta Braves lineup on a day-to-day basis. They are always going to be better than their opponents. It's just up to their starting pitchers to give them a chance to hang around. Yesterday, they certainly did that, and you did see the Braves score four times in the ninth inning to sort of stretch that lead out, but six runs, 11 hits, that's average for the Atlanta Braves, and any starting pitcher that's going to be on the Braves goes, you know what? I don't have to throw a gem. I have the best hitting lineup in baseball behind me right now on a night-to-night basis. The Braves are 10-5 right now, not really because of their starting pitching, which was quite good yesterday, and also their bullpen, but their bats have been absolutely sensational. Another win for the Braves, which then we turn over our focus to the Astros and say, there's one thing, Ben, about opening the season in a little bit of a slump. 6-12 on the season, not a good look, and more games with the Braves on deck.
And listen, Donnie's point right there is completely sound. It is still the middle of April. We've been in this Major League Baseball season for a little bit less than 3 weeks. A lot is going to figure itself out in June, July, August, so on and so forth. Are the Houston Astros in danger at the moment of missing the postseason? Way too early to tell. But what we can say for what we called a World Series preview, question mark, the Houston Astros have seen their odds work against them in a negative fashion in these first 3 weeks of this MLB campaign. They entered the year as the favorites to win the American League pennant, plus 360. Add on a buck to that price, and the Yankees now well in front of the Astros. They entered the year with the third best price, but the best out of the American League to win a World Series, now the fourth best number at plus 950. And when you look at those World Series odds, it's the Dodgers and the Braves separated by a dollar and a half. The Yankees a dollar and a half behind Atlanta. So pretty close there, those top three teams separated by only $3. And then a $3 drop off to the Houston Astros. Again, very early. Those distinctions will change throughout a very long Major League Baseball season. But there is no doubt about it. The statement the Astros have made to start is negative market movement.
No, it is. But you have to remind ourselves, too, because so many times we get caught up in, you don't win the World Series by having the best record in baseball at the end of the regular season. The reason I bring that up is if you think the Astros are still a quality team, you're getting them at a really good discount. Is anybody out there watching the show or listening or even watching the Houston Astros going like, yep, 6-12, let's, you know, play that out for a season. Maybe they get the 65 wins if they're lucky. You know that's not the case here. The Houston Astros are going to be a player come August and September to make the playoffs. And if you like the Astros, and just figure it's a swoon to start the season and we'll get it together, that's a great price point to start buying into, because sooner than later, the Astros will be above 500. Those prices will start to shift back. But from that market to open the season till now, you're getting a substantial discount on the Astros here. And that's a good thing if you want to jump in on them right now.
Up in Toronto, it was the Blue Jays against the Yankees in American League East Divisional Showdown. Again, a lot of scoring early, but that's where it stopped. All four runs in total scored in this game, done by the bottom of the third. It was Alejandro Kirk plating some insurance for Toronto. They scored two in the second after the Yankees scored one in the top half of the frame. And again, that insurance run in the third as the Blue Jays knock off the Yanks 3-1. Luis Gil on the bump yesterday for New York. Seven walks, DRS. Seven walks for the Pinstripes in five innings, including a wild pitch in the second that was technically the game-winning run for Toronto.
Yeah, surprised that he didn't actually give up more runs than that, as you pointed out. A lot of walks and also a pass ball. But the one thing that's been kind of interesting to see the past couple starts for Bassett against the Yankees, he's been very good against them. And yesterday, no difference. 6 1/3 innings pitch, four hits, one earned run. That's a very good lineup that he faced here and shut him down in a ballpark quite like Yankee Stadium. Should be able to give you home runs and extra base hits. Now, the one thing we are waiting for, just like we talk about the Astros, hey, when is the season going to turn on? You look at Aaron Judge right in the middle of that lineup, an 0-for-4 with two Ks yesterday, a 194 batting average. That's just not good enough right there. We'll see if he can certainly start to get it going. Once that weather heats up, he should be okay, but not a great start to start the season here for Judge.
When you look at some of the box scores and the final scores yesterday around MLB, interesting scoring trends. A lot happened early and often, or in the case of the Mets and the Pirates, a lot happened late and a lot happened in the sixth inning. No scoring until we got to the sixth. The Pirates score three in the top of the sixth. The Mets answer with three in the bottom of the sixth and then plate three more in the bottom of the eighth for a rally and a comeback. The New York Mets, after an 0-5 start to this season, have now won 8 of their last 11, 2 in a row, in 4 of their last 5 as the Amazons rally as a home favorite yesterday, minus 124 on that money line for a 6-3 win. And because of the additional runs in the home half of the 8th, a total of 8.5 does go over.
Yeah, 11-6, the Pirates. No shame there for them, but you sort of want to hang on and not collapse late against the Mets. But that's a good win for the Mets now, sitting at 8-8. And also, some of these superstars with monster contracts opening up the season really struggling. Francisco Lindor actually went 2-for-4 yesterday. Oh, he must be having a good season. Yeah. That raised his average to 152. So Lindor to the Mets certainly hasn't paid dividends compared to the contract that he did receive. Long season to go, though, as we know. Mets now at 500 and waiting for their superstar to say, you know what? Season is here. You're supposed to be hitting 300, kid.
A couple more scores around MLB. The Nationals go into the ravine, knock off the Dodgers. That's pretty crazy. The Cubbies win in extras against the Diamondbacks. Nico Horner, the game-winning RBI in extras. The Phillies hold off the Rockies 2-1. The Padres played a ton against the Brewers. They were the road underdog in Milwaukee. Now we set things up for the NBA play-in tournament. That begins today, next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA postseason begins on this Tuesday night. The play-in tournament starts in the Western Conference. We'll get to the matchup between the Lakers and the Pelicans. That's the 7-8 out in the Big Easy. And the 9-10, the California clash between the Golden State Warriors in Sacramento to take on the Kings in our next segment. Tomorrow night, the Eastern Conference play-in tournament gets underway. And the 7-8 matchup is as good as you will see in the play-in tournament. We'll look at the actual games themselves, but DRS, four teams reach the play-in tournament in each conference, seeds 7 through 10. In the Eastern Conference, two of those teams, in the 9 spot, the Chicago Bulls, and in the 10 spot, the Atlanta Hawks, finished well below 500. So, the winner of the Chicago-Atlanta game will take on the loser of the 7-8 matchup between the 76ers and the Heat. You should realistically think Chicago and or Atlanta has a shot to see the NBA playoffs. The odds makers would disagree. Look at those numbers again. Philadelphia is minus 1,800 to see the Eastern Conference playoffs. Miami is minus 590 to also see the Eastern Conference playoffs. And Philadelphia is a 4.5-point favorite in the play-in tournament match. Matchup between the 76ers and the Heat.
Yeah, what they're saying is it's basically a layup. The winner of the Heat-Sixers game gets into the playoffs. The loser then gets to beat either the Hawks and or the Chicago Bulls on their home court. But we know different scenarios, crazy things can play out, because it's not as if that the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers are one game play-in where the team moves on, the other team is out. That team does not go and say, okay, well, it's a 3, 5, or 7 game series. We'll easily dispatch the Hawks or the Bulls. It takes superstar players to step up in big moments, and there are superstar players on both of those teams with the Hawks and Bulls. Just not great franchises this year, and we would be shocked if either one of the Hawks and or the Bulls made it into that top 8.
Yeah, think about what that is really saying as well. Even if the Heat or the Sixers lose, they're going to be probably a 5.5, 6.5, 7-point favorite for what would be that final play-in tournament game to capture the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs in a matchup that really nobody wants against the top seed in the conference, the best team in the NBA this year, the Boston Celtics. So, which makes tomorrow night's opening matchup in the city of brotherly love even that much more pivotal. To be the 7 seed, great. You win and you are in. You don't have to deal with another play-in tournament game. And you also get a matchup against the New York Knicks. Tomorrow night in Philly, the 76ers, the hottest team in the NBA to finish out the regular season, winners of 8 in a row, are a 4.5-point favorite against Miami. That total opened at 209. The over-under has consistently dropped over the last 24-plus hours. It is now just 207. This is a different 76ers team than about a month ago. Joel Embiid is back. He is healthy, and he is playing in that MVP caliber level once again. And we know what happens to the Heat once we reach the postseason. They have reached the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the previous 4 years, the NBA Finals 2 of the last 4 NBA seasons. And they face off tomorrow night in Philadelphia. How do you expect the game to go between the 76ers and the Heat?
It's going to be a great one. Two coaches with a pedigree of winning championships here going to face off in a one-off in Philadelphia. But the one key ingredient, as it looks like Joel Embiid is healthy for this play-in round. Now, Nick Nurse being a little bit coy in his press conference saying, yeah, I hope to get Joel Embiid back, only to have Kelly Oubre say, you should see the seriousness in Joel Embiid at practice and how he's just wrecking everybody there. So take that for what you will. Joel Embiid looks like he's going to be healthy for this one. But it is interesting the FanDuel Sportsbook opened this line at 5, and now you're seeing it at 4.5. Some other outlets are reporting 4s. But if you look across the board, Ben, it's primarily 4.5. But you're right about this total, which opened up at FanDuel 208.5 on the opening number, and now we see 207. We talked about it yesterday, like the 207.5 to the over. Again, like the 207 even. I understand it's playoff basketball. The Heat can slow you down, but there's still weapons on both sides here. You're basically looking at these teams to get around 100 points apiece, and you should be good to go. That should be fine with me. Yeah. I know the playoff tempo is different, but I'm still going to go over. The Philadelphia 76ers have home court advantage. They should be able to handle their business. But if they don't, it's not going to be ultra surprising, Ben, as you pointed out. The Miami Heat have a track record for this, making deep playoff runs, having a great basketball coach, and a roster that buys into exactly what the Heat are selling. It'll be fun to watch you play out, but I still, as a Sixers fan, think they're going to be able to get by and claim that 7th seed here when it's all said and done tomorrow.
Listen, I know Heat culture in the postseason. I know play-in tournament Jimmy Butler. All of those things are going to rear their ugly head, or if you're a Heat fan, their very fashionable head tomorrow night in Philadelphia. The 76ers with a healthy Joel Embiid, and I don't care how coy Nick Nurse is being, he is healthy and playing at an elite level, are going to win this basketball game. I would bet the 4.5 for Philadelphia to cover as well. The reason the Sixers have home floor advantage in the play-in tournament, the reason the 76ers were hunting down that sixth seed is the return of Joel Embiid. 8 straight wins for Philadelphia to end out the regular season. Covering in all 8, 7 of the 8 as a favorite. The Sixers have covered in 10 straight in 12 of their last 13. And to Donnie's point about the total, playoff basketball for sure. But could we see 208 points? I believe so. Philadelphia over in 4 of their final 6 regular season games, over in 7 of their last 10. Miami over in 9 of its last 10 to end out the regular season. Now, the Heat as an underdog this year, not bad. 17-18 against the spread, 11 of those 17 covers, an outright victory. I just don't expect it to come this time around. And if Miami does lose in this opening play-in tournament game, they won't really be that spooked. Again, they get Chicago and or Atlanta. And last year when Miami made it all the way to the NBA Finals once again as the 8th seed, they did lose their opening play-in tournament game before having to defend home floor in South Beach in what was that second play-in tournament matchup. So now to the second game, tomorrow night in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. It is Chicago and Atlanta. Inside the United Center, the Bulls, a 3-point home favorite. Again, Chicago is 4 games below 500 to end out the regular season. Atlanta is 7 games below 500 where they were to end out the regular season. The Hawks, in fact, lost 6 straight games when they actually looked like they had found something ever so slightly to show that competitive nature entering the postseason. That faded down the ultimate stretch of this NBA regular season.
Yeah, maybe it was, you know, your superstar Trae Young coming back into the lineup, throwing things off. And even as you try to get that momentum moving forward, you saw the last game that they played against the Pacers. They had their starters in there, didn't even show up, and gave up close to 160 points in regulation. So if you look at the Bulls, home court advantage does mean a lot, and that's why you like to have these games in your own building. Survive and advance. It's a cheap number here. It actually opened up at 3 and still sits at 3 today, so no real line movement here off of that number. But we do have a little bit of movement here on the total. Opened up at FanDuel 219.5, now sits at 221. I still like that game over as well. I don't think it's a lot of points here. We know that Atlanta is not a maven for defense here and would like to push a little bit of tempo, and maybe the Chicago Bulls can reciprocate that. But I do think the Bulls are the better team overall and at home and should be able to win this game. 3 is a light number. It's the same thing like, oh, you know what? I don't think Atlanta can win this game, but I sure like the 3 points nonsense here. You're picking both of these teams to win. I doubt the spread comes into play in this one.
And this matchup was confirmed before the final weekend of the NBA regular season. It was one of the few certainties we had entering that regular season finale on Sunday. The 9-10 play-in tournament game in Chicago between the Bulls and the Hawks and the Boston Celtics as the conference's top seed. Now, I have said this oftentimes throughout this NBA season. The Atlanta Hawks are abysmal at covering a number. They are the worst cover team in the NBA, 29-53 against the spread. They lost 6 straight to end out the regular season, only 1 cover in their final 7 games. In fact, that cover percentage for Atlanta is 35.4%. DRS, the Hawks are the only team in the association all year long to cover in less than 40% of their games. But when we were breaking this down, taking an early look at the early lines for the play-in tournament here on the early line, I bet both of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament matchups to the over. Philadelphia and Miami at 207 and a hook. Now take off that hook. And Atlanta and Chicago yesterday at 218 and a half, up by 2.5 points now to 221. Atlanta over in 12 of its last 15 games to end out the regular season. Chicago over in its final four.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you there on that, because usually you take a look at the Chicago Bulls, it's not really a team that gets up and after it, but I do think the Hawks' game plan here is not going to be slow it down and play a lot in the half court. Also, you got Trae Young back, who's an electric young performer. Sometimes you like that bounce, and that bounce, I mean, is like you down your superstar player for well over a month. A lot of other guys get to step up in that moment and play minutes and take shots that they normally wouldn't get, which means when the superstar player comes back, if they need those extra guys, those B players here, the role players to step up, they can normally do that. We'll see if that pays dividends here, but I'm not really high. Like, you get home court advantage for a reason. It's nice in a seven-game series because if you get to game seven, it's in your own building. It's even more important when it's a one-game series, and the one game, which is de facto game seven, is in your building here at this point. So I'll take the Bulls. I'll take the Philadelphia 76ers to move on in advance, as home court advantage is masterful and huge at this time of year.
And we have seen a ton of market movement in the Eastern Conference title odds in the last 24 hours since the close of the regular season. Boston remains nearly a $2 odds-on favorite at minus 190. But Philadelphia's outlook, should they win at least a game in the play-in tournament, is pretty high. And Philly's outlook at the moment, expecting as a 4.5-point favorite to at least win outright tomorrow at home against Miami and be the 7 seed, is really strong. Plus 850. Donnie, I was surprised yesterday to hear Tom Vecchio say he thought the value in the Eastern Conference was on the New York Knicks. I think it's on the Sixers. 10-1 yesterday, now plus 850.
Yeah, no, I think it is on the Philadelphia 76ers, because I like what the Knicks have going on. And quite frankly, the Knicks probably more likely get knocked out in round one than round number two, which is insane. But that's the level of competition they're going to get right out of the gate.
And that's the importance of the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. Play-in tournament in the Western Conference next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Western Conference play-in tournament starts tonight. That means the NBA postseason begins on this Tuesday. It starts in the Big Easy. It's the 7-8 matchup in the Western Conference. New Orleans hosts the Los Angeles Lakers. Then the nightcap up in California's capital, the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. A playoff rematch of just a year ago. So now we look at the play-in picture for the Western Conference. New Orleans is actually a very, very, very slight home underdog tonight. That line is flipped now, in fact, -1 in favor of the Pels, -112 on the money line. But the Lakers still have a better make playoff price in the Western Conference than that of New Orleans, -550 for LA, -450 for the Pels. DRS, we just looked at the Eastern Conference. I don't really give Chicago or Atlanta a shot to get past Miami or Philadelphia away from home. I do feel differently about the Western Conference. Whether the Lakers or the Pels lose tonight in a game that is virtually a pick'em and a toss-up in the Big Easy, later this week, whoever hosts the winner of tonight between Sacramento and Golden State, I think that game's going to be a very short spread and expected to be very tight as well.
Yes, it will be. And you take a look at those four teams that are going to play. There's one common denominator of both of these, you know, short series, Lakers, Pelicans, Warriors, Kings. It comes down to, who do you actually trust in the biggest moment? Who's actually been there before? Who's lifted the Larry O'Brien trophy? Who's got MVPs under their belt? Well, if you take a look at the Lakers, certainly you would trust them more with the Pelicans. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They wear rings here, right? You take a look at the Golden State Warriors going against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors have rings here. This isn't a moment that's too big for them. Mike, quite frankly, it probably could have like, ah, it's going to be light work. We should win this in. How are we going to match up with the next round here? And that's the way I approach it. And that's also similar to what we're seeing in the odds market. Having said that, the Pelicans actually opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, as a -2 point favorite. Then we saw quickly go over to the Los Angeles Lakers, who were favored by as many as -1.5 points. That has now swung back at just about every single book, including FanDuel here, as a favorite towards the Pelicans. It's a one-off here. Win it and advance. Loser gets a second chance here to advance. You take a look at the Warriors. No shame in their game. -1s. Now we're seeing -2s to 2.5s and even 3s across the board as a favorite towards the Warriors. I do think both road teams have a legitimate chance to win. It is hard to win on the road in the NBA. We understand that, but different circumstances here. I just expect better performances out of the Lakers and the Warriors, and we'll see how it turns out.
DRS, you said yesterday, when you look on paper, despite LeBron James and Anthony Davis being on one side, up and down the roster for New Orleans, you might trust a little bit more depth and talent. But LeBron James and Anthony Davis cannot be overlooked. Quickly back to those odds. The Lakers at 18-1 to win the Western Conference. In the Eastern Conference, that would put them in one of the seven best prices. It still really is around the Western Conference conversation, but so many teams out west have a three-digit price as compared to only three in the Eastern Conference, and only one team is at a $5 price or less. That's the odds-on favorite, the Boston Celtics. So the Lakers have the best outlook from the odds component should they advance out of the play-in tournament and into the playoffs, which we saw a year ago, reaching the Western Conference Finals before being swept, of course, by the Denver Nuggets out of the play-in tournament as the 7th seed. So let's go to the game tonight, where it's not only a familiar matchup, but it's really, really familiar, as it was the regular season finale on Sunday. A crushing loss for New Orleans at home, as the Pelicans could have been the 6th seed in the Western Conference. Instead, the Lakers go into the Big Easy as a 3-point dog, win outright by 16 points, 124-108. Behind a 30-point and 11-rebound performance out of Anthony Davis, LeBron James had a 28-point, 17-dime, 11-rebound performance for a triple-double as well. So these two teams just played 2 days ago, now 3 days ago, really, when you look at it, including this Tuesday. How much is that familiarity, DRS, for this matchup going to pay any dividends, if at all?
Oh, it's comfortability. Like, you're just in that building. You just won a basketball game. So you're not coming in saying, like, let's just say it was the Pacers and the Hawks. Like, hey, we're going to rematch. Oh, by the way, they beat us by 50 the game before that. And you're looking for revenge. The Lakers should come in here cool and collective, because also keep in mind, the Lakers are the road team here. And it's not necessarily a do or die, because the Lakers lose this basketball game. They do get a home game here to try to advance and be the 8th seed in the playoffs. And we'll see if that makes, you know, certainly headway. But that's not the game we're talking about. It's tonight. If you're looking at the starting lineup, look, McCollum, Ingram, Jones, Williamson, and Valanciunas is a really good starting five for the Pelicans here. And they're all healthy at the same time. This is always the question marks that we have during the regular season. Oh, is Zion going to be out because his knee injury is going to pop up? Or Brandon Ingram was out so much of the regular season. Now he's actually healthy along with McCollum. That's a great 1-2 punch in the backcourt here. And also a very deep bench with some talent coming off there. And they're the home team here. It's not a massive surprise that the Pelicans win this game, but it just comes down to compatibility for me. When I see a game that you need to win, it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis here. I think they have enough to go ahead, which is the reason why they're getting a lot of respect on that point spread. Now, granted, as we talked about, they were the favorite, now the slight underdog, but it's essentially a pick'em coming into this game. Rooting interest for me, probably the Pelicans, because I think they're a really exciting team, and I would love to see the Lakers, if they lose, have to get another play-in round here, and it could be against the Golden State Warriors. That could be a lot of fun. But for myself, I just think the Lakers probably a little bit too strong here with that playoff mentality, Ben.
Listen, the trend perspective of this game against the number is not really all that sound, because we're separated by just 8 cents on the money line, and we have seen the favorite flip from -112 yesterday with the Lakers to now -112 on the other side with the Pelicans. However, New Orleans outright this year, if they do close as a dog, the best underdog team in the NBA, one of two teams alongside the Indiana Pacers that have a winning record straight up as a dog 18-14. The Lakers are 15-21 outright as an underdog this year, and 18-18 against the spread. So 15 of those 18 covers an outright win, meaning if they ever are a dog, they are gunning for that outright victory. So here the Lakers are, and the reason the Lakers are in the 7-8 game and not what we expected maybe a week ago to be that 9-10 matchup against Golden State is because of some great recent form out of the Lake Show. They won 11 of their last 14 games to end out the regular season to get into this spot. The Lakers went over in 10 of their final 14 games, including their last four, including Sunday's regular season finale against New Orleans. 231 was the over-under. It finished with a final score of 232 in total. The Lakers 18-1 to win the Western Conference. And again, to go back to my point, that's the seventh best number out west. But there are six teams in the Western Conference at 10-1 or shorter. There are only three teams in the Eastern Conference at 10-1 or shorter to win the conference crown at this moment. Total tonight, by the way, in New Orleans, 224.5. So that's a rematch from the regular season finale just a few days ago on Sunday, a rematch of a playoff series that went to a full seven games last year is the nightcap in play-in tournament night number one. In Sacramento, the Kings will host the Golden State Warriors. But the Dubs, despite being on the road, making the short trip from San Francisco to Sacramento, a 2.5-point underdog. Total tonight at 223.
Yeah, there is no tomorrow for a team that loses that basketball game. They will be out of the playoffs altogether. And also, you take a look at the correlation between the Lakers, Pelicans, and the Warriors and the Kings. 227.5 was that Lakers opening number at FanDuel, Ben. Now down to 224.5. That's a big move of 3 points. But how about this? The Warriors and the Kings opened up at FanDuel at 228.5. Now down to 223. So we're seeing some of that pressure and guise of the playoffs, even though we know the Kings can get up and down the court. We know the Warriors like to shoot the three-point shot, but every single possession is magnified. And you might want to say to yourself, okay, early in playoff series, right? You might want to look to the over because if teams lose one game, two games, well, they're behind the eight ball, but the series is far from over. This is a one-off. This is like a game seven again where you expect it to be all hands on deck. Every single possession means something because if you do lose, you're going home for the playoffs. So that should be something to watch. I don't know if I agree with that big of a line swing, but I can see where the philosophy would be where defense matters more of a half-court game. You're not going to be able to get out and run. But if we're being honest, I do agree with the Golden State Warriors once again being favorites here. It's the same thing against the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans are more talented than the Lakers, but you don't have that playoff pedigree in a one-off type of situation where, A, you lose or go home, or you lose and you go into that B bracket, which you have to win, or you go home in that game in the second round of the play-ins here. The Golden State Warriors are built for this year. What do you expect to happen tonight? Is it going to be De'Aaron Fox getting 45 points? Could be. Is it Domantas Sabonis going for 25, 15-10? Could be here. But the one thing I do know, Steph Curry is going to be firing from three-point range. So is Klay Thompson. Draymond Green is going to be hell on wheels tonight in this game. As long as he doesn't get thrown out, he's probably going to be certainly an advantage on the defensive end. We'll see how it plays out. But for me, I agree with the line movement, which was -1 to start, now up to 2.5 here. The Warriors, to me, are playoff built, and they should be able to win this game.
The Kings have gone under in 12 of their final 15 games, rather, to end out the regular season. Part of that line movement as well. The three best underdog teams in the NBA all in action tonight in the Western Conference play-in tournament. We shared New Orleans, the best, Golden State, the second best, and Sacramento, the third. The Kings, the Dubs, and the Pels, the three teams that have covered in 60% or more of their games as an underdog this year. Sacramento, 17-11 against the spread as an underdog, 12 of those 17 covers, an outright win. Golden State this year as the favored side, 21-21-1 against the spread, so pretty evenly 500. But here's a huge difference from this year's Warriors team as compared to last year. Golden State is so much better at winning on the road. They did not have home floor advantage in last year's playoff series against Sacramento. The Kings were the 3 seed. Golden State was the 6 seed. Our question, Donnie, entering that opening round playoff matchup in the Western Conference was, would the road Warriors really come to play and not in a good way here in the postseason? Golden State this year on the road, 27-14 against the spread, tied for the best ATS mark away from home this year in the NBA alongside the Dallas Mavericks. The Dubs are 25-16 straight up away from San Francisco this year. Compare that to last year in the regular season, 11-30. 9 games above 500 this year, 19 games below a season ago. Now, you bet the Warriors team win total to the under in the preseason at 47.5. Golden State looked good early that they were going to stay under that number, DRS. Made it a little bit interesting after the All-Star break, but do finish a game and a half shy at 46-36. But even with betting the under, you have faith in Golden State now in the postseason tonight because of the championship pedigree in this Warriors organization.
Exactly, and that's what we're picking on in both of these games tonight. It's the teams that are used to advancing. It's the teams that have won championships where it's a one-off. It's not too big of a moment for the Golden State Warriors. They've never been in this spot before, and you're also looking for the Sacramento Kings to finally take that next step as a team that needs to be reckoned with, but this is why you wind up in a 9-10. Neither one of these teams is built without flaws. Otherwise, they'd already be in the playoffs and looking forward to their opponents, which wouldn't come till this weekend's action. But I just look, if I need somebody to step up, like, can you just wake up tomorrow morning? Steph do last night? 29 points, dropped 6 3-point shots. Draymond actually made 2 3-point shots, played crazy defense. He's waving his finger all over the court out here, yelling at referees. That's just what I see happening tonight. So I'll go with the Golden State Warriors. The pedigree is what I'm looking for out of both of these ball clubs tonight with the Lakers and the Warriors. I think they both get the job done, even though they both, Ben, are on the road tonight.
29 points. It's like somebody looked at Steph Curry's points prop, which is 29.5, matching De'Aaron Fox at 29 and a hook for the highest in this game. Domantas Sabonis to record a double-double, -1050. To record a triple-double, +165. We'll have further picks and breakdowns a little bit later on. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a ceremony it was on Sunday night for Big Blue Nation. Mark Pope greeted by about 22,000 of the faithful for the Kentucky Wildcats inside Rupp Arena. Very difficult if you are somebody who thinks that atmosphere and environment does not equate to one of the three best jobs and one of the most significant in all of college basketball. Could not be me. And when the announcement was made for the head coach hiring by Kentucky on Thursday night, on Friday afternoon, Rick Pitino, now the head coach at St. John's, but was Mark Pope's head coach of the 1996 national championship winning team, came out and said, this is a great hire. He is going to have success. He is one of the bright offensive minds in this sport. Kentucky, you got somebody who is going to win you a national championship. And he was the captain, was Mark Pope, of that 96 national title team. And Rick Pitino, after seeing the scene on Sunday night, said, wow. Just saw clips from our captain's press conference. Not shocked, but pleasantly surprised. Would expect nothing less from Coach Mark Pope. Also, St. John's basketball accepts this year at UK. Next year at the Mecca. That's Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to saying goodbye to Kentucky men's basketball. Rick Pitino and Mark Pope agreeing to a home-and-home between the Wildcats and the Red Storm.
You're going to see a lot of teams want to agree to a home-and-home against Kentucky and just be able to absolutely hammer them over the next 2 years as they have no talent as everybody has left the building, whether it's being recruits or players on their own team. So I would look at that and say, I like this because Rick Pitino used to coach Kentucky. They get a home-and-home. That's really good for St. John's. We'll see how it goes for Kentucky here because I know 22,000 people in the stands are trying to get excited and convince themselves that Pope is the right guy, but you can't win in college basketball without players. Let's see what type of team that Kentucky is able to put forward over the next couple of years.
That's a good breakdown. It's hard to win a basketball game without any players. Mark Pope will retain and bring some from BYU. Mark Pope will reach a Sweet 16 before Donnie Wrightside misses another day on the early line. That is my guarantee. WNBA draft reaction to start hour two in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.